Welcome everybody to
Africa.
We'd like to welcome everyone to Africa on the Move. I'd like to thank you for allowing us the opportunity to come to your homes this evening. And first and foremost, we'd like to say Happy New Year to everybody. This is our first New Year production, and we hope to have a show that will enlighten you and inspire you to do something to help humanity to move forward. And on that note, since our time is limited, we're going to basically have an open forum. We have an open forum, and with this open forum, we can name it News That You Can Use. We have a panelist with us today who can share with us some perspective on some of the things they may have been reading or researching on news where they believe the people can use. Our panelist today is Brother Hakeem, Brother Zimbabwe, and Brother Anthony. They'll be sharing their perspectives on news you can use. And I, first and foremost, to my panelists, I'd like to say, everyone, Happy New Year. Happy New Year on behalf of Africa on the Move. Happy New Year. So, again, we say this is an open forum. We like to inform our audience. One of the things that we are very fond of Africa on the Move is that we know that how information is important, because while information people cannot think, and we also know how organization is important. We like to inspire people to join some kind of organization, because as oppressed people, as the people who are powerless, the only way you can acquire power and make effective change happen is through organization. So on that note, we're going to dive straight into our program on news that you can use, and we're going to start out with our brother Hakeem. Brother Hakeem, can you share with our people something about some kind of news that they can use and why you think it's important for our people to know it? Brother Hakeem.
I think probably the news I have is probably old news, but nonetheless, I was reading an article recently, and they were talking about the whole American Correction Association. And one of the things that's unique in terms of this whole organization is that when it relates to Virginia, they've created a law in which private industries that come into Virginia to build prisons on a stipulation that in building those prisons that the government must provide those private jailers with 100% capacity. So in other words, the state, is, by hook or crook, is to incarcerate large number of people, give them longer and longer sentences to make sure that they remain in prison. Now, on the downside, if they don't maintain 100% incarceration rates, then those private entities, those private corporations, can sue the government for breach of contract. So I think that in an age in which, even by their own standards, where crime is actually decreasing, that to incarcerate people and to incarcerate for long and long periods of time is anathema to what we perceive as justice and what we perceive as what is right. So I think that people got to be cognizant of this whole fact in terms of this craze, this willingness, this desire, this policy, which is geared toward incarcerating a large number of black people. Or African people. So I think that is something that people should be aware of.
And you said they are creating a law in Virginia. Can you repeat that then again, how this is going to come about for our audience?
No, it's already in place. It's already in place. What happens is that these private entities would assume the prisons. In return for assuming responsibility for running prisons, they dictate or they mandated that they have to have 100% incarceration rates, which means that the prisons have to be filled at 100%, at least 100% capacity. If the prison is not full, then private corporations or correctional corporations can sue state governments for breach of fiduciary responsibility or breach of contract. And so, therefore, what happens is that the state has a mandate, it has an incentive to fill the prison with large and larger numbers of black kids. And this is precisely what happened. So when I talk about the fact that as crime increase, the number of men of incarceration has actually increased, and the periods of time people spent in prison has also increased. So it seems to me that if for all right-thinking people, that you have to begin to look or begin to understand this whole focus around this lack of autonomy that exists in society. And that if we're sincere about democracy, then we have to begin to understand that what's going on is not only tantamount to wrong, but it's also genocidal in its broadest perspective. So I think that we have to be very, very concerned about what's going on and understand the implication for all, for us all, irrespective of class.
Brother Ike, we can come back with you and talk a little bit about the news that we can use later on in the program. But listen to you, it sounds like the fix is already in. You know, there's an old saying in our psychology class where criminals are not born, they are created. So definitely based upon what you're saying, like they plan on creating a whole lot of criminals in the society.
Exactly. And not only that, Brother Africa, the problem is that if you can't find any criminals, then you create artificial categories to justify incarcerating people. So whereas once upon a time you wouldn't incarcerate somebody for 15 years for stealing loaf of bread. Now it's apropos that incarcerating somebody for stealing loaf of bread is par for the course. And so therefore, by hook or crook, they're going to increase the incarceration in the means at their disposal, and they have to. And they're going to do that utilizing law. So for those people who understand that law is in fact objective, in fact humane and reasonable, you got to understand that law is whatever it is that the people in power say it is. And they say we're going to lock you up for 15 years because you trespass, and that's what you do, you get 15 years. So we had to understand that. And so the repercussions for humanity generally, but African people particularly, is a grim one. And I think we had to be very, very concerned about what's going on.
Okay, let's go to our next panelist for the day. For news that we can use, Brother Zabari, what you have for the people? What would you like to share with them?
First and foremost, to the panel, Happy New Year, and it's good to see this program back on the air. But I'm going to touch bases on the recent event as we looked at how we celebrated the annual day set aside to recognize the legacy of Martin Luther King. Of course, it's hard to recognize an entire legacy in one day, but nonetheless, it's amazing the glaring contradictions when you look at what Dr. King stood for as a radical peace advocate. Compared to the age of warfare that we find ourselves in, he will be very dismayed and be very disappointed, even though, according to his I Have a Dream speech, one of the biggest highlights will be having President Barack Obama, but nonetheless, action speaks louder than words.
Let me just ask you something, Brother Zabari, in terms of how they betray the Martin Luther King Day, how do you really perceive how it should be betrayed? What they have been doing.
Well, of course, just like anything, if corporations feel that they can profit off of it, they're going to find a way to put it in a box and present a certain image about it, and that's why they focus on mostly the I Have a Dream King. That's only one particular version of him, because he was a very multifaceted man, and it wasn't that he really truly found his voice until he delivered the classic Beyond Vietnam speech, which he vehemently criticized the racism in the imperialistic campaign that was known as the Vietnam War.
Okay, we'll come back to your point, Brother Zabari, on news we can use, and we'll go next to our Brother Anthony. Brother Anthony, can you share with us people with some news that they can use? Brother Anthony.
Certainly. Happy New Year and revolutionary greetings, Brother Africa. Thanks for having me on the program with these two brothers. Something I've noticed from reading the news lately is that imperialism is stepping up its efforts to dominate Africa. And Africans in general, and you know, the implications of that can be seen in the policies. I mean, the U.S. is intervening in the internal affairs of African governments more openly than it ever has in its history, and also African lives in the diaspora are becoming increasingly expendable as imperialism mounts its offensive, which is why we see so many killings and assassinations of Africans, throughout the diaspora. There is an increasingly blatant disregard for African life, particularly it seems for African males.
Yeah, Brother Anthony, I think there is a real critical point that you're making about the intensification of imperialism in terms of how it's increasing its domination over Africa, particularly to military means. I was just reading an article not too long ago, and we'll come back and talk a little bit about it, but I'd like to get a brief comments from you on how the CIA has been operating through its embassy in Nigeria, or organizing all these bombings under fake so-called terrorist group. And the whole intent was to make sure they could neutralize the Nigerian government so they won't have too much influence on the regional politics that's going on in Africa. And I found that to be not amazing, but it seemed to be that's a history of what U.S. has done throughout the years since the existence of the CIA. Would you like to respond just a little bit to that, and we'll come back later on also to really talk about that more of a broader basis of this whole question of imperialism, domination, intensification of domination of Africa?
Certainly. I think Kwame Nkrumah had observed this pattern when he noted in his book, Neocolonialism, The Last Days of Imperialism, how imperialists use their embassies as tools for spying on countries they allegedly have friendly relations with in order to control and destabilize governments that they do not like.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. We'll come back. Next we have with us Sister Katie, our queen of the day, our freedom fighter, our Fannie Lou Hamer. Sister Katie, will you share with us the news that we can use? And, of course, we always want to get an update on what is going on with our son Michael, and how the people can support him. So, Sister Katie, share some things with us and also give us an update on Michael.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the comments from all three of the panelists today, and I'm actually a part of what they have shared. The first panelist that talked about the incarceration of individuals, and this is really and truly coming to the light because I'm living that now. My son has been charged with information that they said was on his computer. This information that's on his computer, we were not aware of it, and did not request it. So we did not even live in the county that came in and seized his computers. So as eloquently stated by the first panelist, the charges are based on circumstantial evidence, and the laws were written and designed to incarcerate because the charges that he's facing carries penalties of years in prison based on what they said was on his computer. So if they can come up with laws and use those laws to implement and incarcerate individuals, this is saying that, well, this is an incorporation that is designed to support the private industry. And you're correct. The laws are designed to have long sentences for things that have not even to do with anything violent. It could just be something that they interpret to be breaking the laws which they have implemented. If they've implemented the laws and say, okay, you've broken this law, you were not even aware that this law was even on the book. But these are laws that's designed to incarcerate individuals who are not aware and who doesn't have the funds to fight back. So I'm living that experience. My son is facing charges which he and truly is trying to survive and fight for his future now. He's never had a problem with law enforcement before. And this is the first experience for him. And we are trying very hard to support him and get a defense in place for him. He's out on bond now. And these individuals are not ashamed or afraid to pursue their avenue against him. So we are asking for help.
Okay, when you say you ask for help, can you just give our people some ways of how we can help you? What you need right now?
We need to put a defense in place to support him coming into trial because they have asked him if he would be willing to take a plea deal. He said no, he would prefer to go to trial. So we are preparing for trial now. And we need to have defense in place to help with that. And if you are able to help us, we would be willing to engage a computer expert who would be willing and able to analyze this computer that they have confiscated to say that How many times was this information seized? Who requested it? Where did it come from? So we do need to have a computer expert in place to help with his defense. If you can help us, please send your funds to Save Our Sons Defense Fund, Post Office Box 58, Englewood, Colorado, 80151. If you would like to know more about the experience, you can also join us online by going to saveoursons2013@gmail.com. If there are any computer experts who are listening to this conversation and able to assist us, would you please call? You can call me at 720-499-5146 or 720-221-8500. Any help, we appreciate. But this young man deserves support.
And along with any kind of computer experts, any lawyer with any kind of decency and principles,
yes,
who knows that, who believe in justice and fairness, we would like to advocate, encourage you to take a look at Brother Michael Case and come and help him, because money should never be a criteria to determine what's not justice is served for innocent people. So we are appealing to any lawyers with any kind of justice principles to give us a call at 804-549-7492, and we'll direct you to Miss Katie in reference to Brother Michael. We notice, in terms of talking about the criminal justice system, and this question is to the whole panel, and I'd like for Brother Hakee to respond to it first, though, is that recently, Brother Hakee, and to the panelists, I don't know if y'all have been aware, but recently in Philadelphia, there's a young man similar to Michael Fulton situation, where he was a straight A student, never got in no trouble, and he was on his way back home. When he was on the way to another school to play a basketball game, him and his peers, the straight A student never got in any kind of trouble, and they were just arbitrarily stopped by the police. Stopped by the police, and in the process of being stopped by the police, there was a female policeman intentionally, when she was patting down, she intentionally ruptured his intestines. Had destroyed the young man. He had to have surgery. And would not, from my understanding, would not be able to have kids. Now, these kind of spiteful behavior attitudes toward our youth, at some point in time, when African people in this country going to realize that they are at war? These folks have no intentions of giving them justice, no intention of treating them as human beings. And at what point in time, what needs to be done to at least come with a proper analysis to say, all of these ills that are going on with the brother Michael, I'm very familiar with the case. This brother never had done anything other than go to school and become a good student. And then they can come in and frame him. Matter of fact, not only frame him, but they took the computers out and they don't know what was on the computer. I'm quite sure, looking at the behavior of the police department, they put the things on the computer when they got his computer. And they're trying to charge him with these things. But my point to you, Brother Hackett, and people in general, there seems to be so much that's going on against our people openly. As this voice was saying in his book, The World of Africa, he said there will come a time where these forces will openly just say, yes, we are mistreating you. What you going to do about it? So what? How do you respond to these realities, Brother Hackett? This stuff is going on a daily basis. In Mississippi, they say they are just taking black kids and taking them out of the street and just putting them in jail for no reason at all. And taking away from their family on no basis, on basis upon nothing. So, I don't know. You tell me, brother. What can we do? What should we do? Where do we start?
Brother, well, Brother Lee, you know, one of the things I've been trying to convey to people for a long, long time is that in order to understand injustice that permeates society, you have to understand the economic system. You don't understand the role of globalism, the kind of things that are happening. Anytime you have an economic system, which the wealth of the country is accrued to 1% of the population, then you got 99% of the population who are not, for all intents and purposes, in a position to participate in the economy. The question for the system is, what do you do with all of these people that you don't need? Now, one of the things about the system that we have to understand is that all systems seek to exist. They seek to maintain equilibrium. What happens is you got all these unemployed, all these homeless, all these people out here, you know, who need shelter, food, and various services, and you have, but yet there's no money for them. Well, you can do one of two things. You can liquidate large numbers of people. You can kill off large numbers of people. But if we haven't got to that point, the society haven't got, the system haven't got to that point yet. But you can certainly, you can incarcerate large numbers of people as a mechanism of control. And one of the things is that when you get the history of our people, and because our people are so marginalized, that if the system understands that anybody's going to stand up and fight the system, it's going to be African people. The built-in large number of African people, not only to fear and fear scare, to in sense of fear, a sense of fear, and to to inject into them a sense of fear, but also to simply to terrorize. And so this is what's happening. The question in terms of what do you do in this kind of situation, first and foremost, obviously is one of education. And that in and of itself is another struggle, but that is one of the first things we have to do in terms of bringing about, you know, some redressing kind of conditions that we're confronted with. I think, secondly, I think once we organize and we understand what the thing is, then there are sacrifices that have to be made. There's no way around it. And so, you know, sacrifice on whatever level. It's going to have to take place. That's the only way you're going to stop this. And the thing is that African people have to understand that the eyes of the world are on the African community in America, because we have a history in terms of standing up for what's right, standing up for justice. And they also understand that these injustices that inflict the African community are also inflicting people around the world. And so, therefore, the rest of the world waiting to see what the African community is going to do in terms of standing up to these injustices. But to reiterate, just go back to your point, Lee, in terms of what we do, and just to expound on the point that I made earlier, is that, we're going to have to sacrifice. There's no point around it. You're going to have to sacrifice. There's no question about it. And I'm convinced that given the material deprivation and given the poverty and the suffering and the injustice that inflicted upon our people, by some point we will get to the point, despite irrespective of class, we'll get to the point where we understand that we have to make sacrifice and we have to stand up. We don't have a choice.
Anybody else would like to take a stand on this issue that we're speaking about? The point is, seem like we're at war. What are we going to do? Brother Jabari, Anthony, Katie. Guys, Jabari, you have stage clear.
One thing we have to do is stay informed, because, like you said, it's alarming how often you hear of these issues and you notice there are several discrepancies that occur in black communities that help this to be a way of life, you know, a normal occurrence. Because you look at things, even things like in regards to diet, you know, it's been shown a person functions better when they're able to have a well-balanced meal every year. But, you know, discrepancies show you the higher your income, the more opportunities you have access to get to that healthy food, where if you have a lower income, you don't have that access and become, you know, it's a sacrifice just to even have, you know, food eat on a daily basis. And sometimes that result in us making decisions we wouldn't otherwise make. And we know that even for the small economies, it's just taking a loaf of bread, you know, there are big-time consequences on the basis of the color of one's skin.
Katie, can I ask you if you can share with our audience? I know it's very frustrated in terms of when you go into your own community and you make an appeal to your community, and that seems to be like no one is listening. People is treating you as if, you know, you're not talking reality. What can the people who may be listening or the people who hear your stories, what can they do to even help, maybe even support you? Let alone talking about supporting your son. I know as a mother, mothers go through all kinds of changes. Just talk about a little bit of how you are feeling today and how we can maybe even some kind of way at the bare minimum help you in some capacity.
I think the best way that the community can assist is to be informed and to know the truth, because many people in the community are misinformed. And law enforcement officials have gone out of their way to alienate us and to misinform neighbors and local community. When we go into the area to do our daily errands, the post office, grocery store, anything that has to do with business, the bank, they look at us as if we are aliens or that we are troublemakers or that we don't belong. Keep in mind that the county that brought these charges I think it's 99.9% white. It's a very rich county in Colorado, Douglas County. Douglas County is very rich, very Caucasian, and they are not afraid or ashamed to carry out these charges against my son. They're hoping that no one notices and that no one cares. My son is an African-American male who has never been in trouble with anyone in Colorado. He grew up in the area. So I think that in addition to helping us with finances to support his defense, it would be good for the African-American community to know the truth. And if they don't know the truth, they are more than welcome to contact us, and we will share the truth with them. They know us from a distance. They have seen us, but they will not engage in conversation with us. It's almost as if they are afraid to be seen communicating with us, that they are afraid of their jobs or their families. Gosh, they don't have to be afraid. We are not the enemy. We are only trying to survive. And we have lived in Colorado for more than 15 years, and we've never caused a problem for law enforcement or anyone else. But right now, my son is trying to defend himself in the digital air. There's no doubt in our minds that when they came into our home with a pass key and guns drawn in my face, my son was not home at the time. They elected to take anything and everything at their discretion. They seized the computers, the cell phones, cash, cards, gift certificates, anything that they thought would build a case. And we are still struggling and trying to find all of the discovery. They are indicating that because they found pornography on the computer, that they are indicating and they want the community to think that we are pedophiles or that we are harming their children. We have no intent of, and have never hurt anyone's children, family, or any pets. And we are hoping that the community would not be so gullible as to believe the lies that they have been told. So we do need...
Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, you sort of got cut off just now. You got cut off a little bit. Okay, no problem. Okay, let me just alert our listening audience that y'all listen to Africa on the Move. This is a biweekly program. Come on every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. If you don't get to hear this entirety of this program, you always can go to our archive at www.AfricaOnTheMove. And you can view all of the programs that have taken place. We're going to go over today because this is something that, this is some news that we all can use. And if you don't, again, be able to hear the whole program, please check out the entirety of the program by going to .com and Blog Talk Radio. Now, and moving on, I'd like to raise this question with Brother Anthony. One of the questions raised, Brother Anthony, was the question of the intensification of imperialism intensifies their stranglehold on Africa. I also noticed that one of the tools that they are using now and plan on using in the future is they are really using technology. They're going to be a human robots. They're going to be a robots and use robots as soldiers to fight wars. What is your understanding of the impact of this new form of technology and how would it affect African people globally?
Well, globally, the impact would be horrendous because drones can go where human beings can't, theoretically. And they're already in use in various Asias, areas of like Western Asia, Iraq, Syria, etc. And the use is increasing. And let's see, and it's going to make our struggle to achieve genuine independence even more difficult. Imperialism is also intensifying its work on the propaganda front in terms of inculcating fear in Africans, to not stand up to the system. Which is directly relates to the problem that the Fulton family is facing now in terms of trying to garner support for their struggle, in the local African community in Colorado, for example. And also, you see it in the fact that our people don't understand the importance of education for the most part, which Brother Haki alluded to. And in light of imperialism's offensive, education becomes more important. Kwame Ture pointed out many years ago that black visibility does not translate into black power, and we can definitely see that today, because we probably have more African elected officials inside the U.S. than at any time in our history. But but the conditions for the masses, for our people, continue to deteriorate.
Okay, well said, well said. Brother Haki and the rest of our panelists, in the midst of using technology now to fight wars against human beings, how do y'all see the implications of that? Not only to fight wars, but I imagine they're going to be using robots to even imprison us and not to have human beings. How do you see just this whole new form of warfare? Matter of fact, I listened to a program the other day, and at that particular program, people said they had been reading articles about one of the forms of punishment that they talk about bringing back in terms of using against the people is a guillotine, bring the guillotine back. It's about chopping people's heads. And part of the psychology behind it is to feel their people. Because right now, those in power are very fearful because people are no longer really control us like they want to. So in terms of the new tactics or old tactics, in terms of looking at technology, hacking, how do we prepare ourselves to deal with this future reality?
I don't know if specifics in terms of how you kind of prepare yourself against technology like robots. I mean, obviously. Just in terms of attacking, something like that, it's probably going to call for not only a different kind of ingenuity, but also some level of a technical understanding in terms of competing against robots, because they don't have a body. I mean, they're iron, metal and iron, so that is one of the fundamental problems. I think when we think about the desperation of these people in power, then we have to understand that, I think more and more increasingly we have to understand the sacrifices needed. Because there's no way we can come out of this thing unscathed. And for those who think it's simple, we can appeal to your legislators, appeal to law, appeal to the Congress or even to the president, that in fact this is going to be bring about the redress to our issues, I think is still sadly mistaken. So I think this question in terms of technology is one that that basically we're gonna have to confront it. When it comes into existence, and I think that the greatest gift we do have is our ability to think, and so I'm confident, given human history, that we've always been able to utilize our mind power to defeat anything that they might come up with in terms of furthering oppression of people, of people.
Yeah, because I was just on the internet this morning, and they was talking about they already have so many thousand robots already developed, and they plan on sending them to Afghanistan. So it's Afghanistan today, and maybe at your backyard tomorrow. And I think this is the kind of news that our people need, news that they can use, they need to think about. Because definitely they're using different tactics, and they are using science against the people. And this is why we tell our youth when they go to school, it's important to master the laws of mathematics and science. Because it's the foundation and the basis of all knowledge. Because if you don't use it, people will use it against you. So a word to the youth. And to our people, we must master these laws of science and understand the laws of nature. But because they're valuable tool, not only for your self-sufficient, but also in order to maintain the existence of the world. Because with this global warming, based upon all these gases that we are using, there's unearthing the earth. It's having an impact on everything: food production, our ability to feed ourselves, and these are the kind of questions. Information we need to look at, ask, what are we doing? And what are we doing? How do we change this? How do we change the mindset of these people? Sister Katie, we have a few minutes left. One of the things I would like for you to do, if you can briefly, can you just talk a little bit about the type of person who is Michael? because I know earlier from time to time people who might hear the program are not familiar with the case. We'd like for you to give them some kind of little beef drop back, a brief background of who he is and why is this young man worthy to be saved from these dungeons.
Michael is a young man who has really and truly been a blessing in my life. He's been very respectful and supportive in my home. And I think that one of the reasons that he might be targeted is because he has very disciplined in his interaction with the community. He graduated with honors from Englewood High School, and he was recruited out of high school into an engineering program to Colorado. He was accepted into college at the University of Colorado in Boulder, and he spent 5-plus years on the campus, living in the dormitories, interacting with his professors, classmates, and dormitories, and never had a problem on the campus with law enforcement. He graduated. He's at a point in his life when he is endeavoring to pursue his career and advanced degrees. He's been designated as a caregiver in my home because I am of age now where my health has been affected, and he has been there to go and pick up my prescription, grocery, pay bills, do whatever is necessary to stay in our family. He's not in the street. He's never caused a problem for anybody. And for them to come into my home with a pass key, insisting that they wanted to retrieve or find Michael, after I told them Michael was not here, they took his computer away. And you and I both know during the digital era that anyone could do anything they so desire with your computer. And they're saying now that the charge that they're bringing against Michael are based solely on the information that they said was retrieved from his computer, which I was not familiar with, I was not aware of. So I think at this point it's important for the public to know that Michael is a young man with a very strong aptitude for engineering and math. And as a math major, he is preparing himself to instruct adults and work with someone who is able to give him the mentorship and fellowship that he desires to make a valuable contribution to society. This young man does not need sitting in prison for some 5 or 10 years based on what they have said was on his computer. He does not need that. And this is why we're fighting so hard to bring the truth to the light. We're trying so hard to let the public know that initially they had Michael on an ankle bracelet. They had him dropping UAs. These charges had nothing to do with drugs at all. He's never even shown an interest in drugs. And after dropping UAs, random UAs at their request for more than 6 or 7 months, the judge says, well, yes, we can modify this. He doesn't need to drop UAs anymore. It's apparent that the young man has never had an interest in drugs at all. He doesn't even smoke. This is a very disciplined young man. He has really and truly been in the community and interacting with the community since he was at least 15 years old. So the Colorado community knows this young man. They've seen him in and out. They know his pattern of behavior. And for some reason, Douglas County and Arapahoe County have set out to destroy him. They're trying hard to fight for his life. We're fighting for his freedom.
Again, how can they get in touch with you, and how can they send any kind of contribution?
If you are able to and willing to and can, we ask you please to contact us by sending any contribution at all to Save Our Sons Defense Fund, Katie B. Lee Fulton, Post Office Box 58, Englewood, Colorado, 80151, or you can call 499-5146 or 720-221-8500. You could also contact us for additional information by going to Save Our Sons 2013@gmail.com. And we will be glad to provide you with additional information about who Michael is and what this experience is about. We are asking for the public support right now. I thank you.
Okay, Jabari, if you think Dr. King came back today, what would he say to the youth in reference to staying out of the hands of the criminal justice system? What kind of advice would he give the youth today? What kind of advice do you give the youth today by being a youth? how can they avoid staying out the criminal justice system? I see that, Jabari. I think my hands lost his body.
I'm
do
here.
We
I'm
Anthony?
Here.
Okay,
Jabari. I'm here.
All right. Guess what comment? What did you say to you?
Dr. King would have a deep lament and be sorrowful because he would have to remind the youth that on the basis solely of the color of their skin, they would be a target. And now more than ever before, like you said, people have become more savvy and more creative in the ways that they attack the youth. And you talk about utilizing technology. I can't remember what locale it was, but recently there was an article that came out that was talking about how there was a computer science program. We know computer science is one of the key majors for anybody that wants to learn the ins and outs of technology, and the only students allowed to participate in this program were white Caucasian students, and you talk about creating discrepancy, and this is going to be used against you. It's amazing how they try to find means to not even let you access it. And better yet, here's an even better example at this in California, which some people have considered a great oasis of, you know, urban uprisings and one of the most progressive places around. At the College of UCLA, they have a policy basically where most of the students, over 90% of the black students that are admitted are athletes. They're not necessarily looking for academics, but if you're a black person, you can excel as an athlete, they'll be more than welcome to allow you to attend the university, and that's definitely a major issue. When you're talking about somewhere where you have access to technology that you can learn, it's definitely there in California when you consider Silicon Valley.
Okay, and we got about a bit of piece for High Key Anthony in terms of your closing summary on news that you can use. Give us a closing statement on why you chose the news that we can use. Start with Brother Anthony.
I chose that focus because really, That is the main issue confronting our people today, imperialism's offenses against Africa. And we have to become better organized than we have been. We've got to intensify our level of organization. And the thing about it, though, we cannot try to fight this battle alone. Our enemy is too well organized. And we have to get better at organizing and educating our people, especially our youth.
Brother Aki, a summary, 1 minute statement on why you chose the news we could use today to our audience.
Real simple. I think that our situation is perilous. I think the sooner we understand that, the sooner we can break down some of the barriers, you know, to getting people to try to understand what's really going on. I think once people really understand what's going on, then I think we can more effectively move toward organizing our people on the level that we need to be organized.
Okay, on that note, we'd like to thank our listening audience for listening to Africa on the Move and our panelists, Brother Haki, Jabari, Anthony, and Sister Katie, for sharing with us today news that we can use. And one of the reasons why we do these type of programs is to provide information so you can think. And also, we have these kind of programs so you can join organizations. Because the only way we really can be effective and bring about true change is through organization. We'd like to encourage you to join the organization. We'd like to encourage you to help all those who's on this panel tonight who are seeking help. Because you must remember, we have one aim, one goal, one destiny. We are one family. Until next time, Happy New Year to everybody. This is a bi-weekly show. You can hear us every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. every other week. And again, we'd like to thank you for listening to Africa on the Move. Until next time, let's strive to go forward ever and backwards never. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.